Guilt has a way of haunting us. It lurks in the background as a constant reminder that we are desperately flawed. When we don't attend to it, guilt readily morphs into shame, and before long, depression sets in. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll presents a brand new teaching series called Living by Grace. In this 7-part study, we'll discover that God doesn't want his children to be enslaved to sin. Instead, he's provided a path to freedom that's liberating. In his opening message, Chuck shares what he calls a flyover glance at guilt and grace.
Thank you, our Father, for the freedom there is in your Son, Jesus, that he came to give us not simply life, but life on another plane, life abundance, life that frees us from the shadows and the shackles of guilt and shame. Give us hearts that are open to receive this truth. Remove from us any reluctance or fear we may have of it. Show us in your word the value of walking in this wonderful realm of freedom through Christ. May we remember that it is a freedom to obey Christ, not a freedom to do as we wish. And show us that legalism is a slavery, but your freedom gives us the ability to fly like the birds of the air, free and enjoying the liberty there is in the Savior. Direct us, we pray, into the truth. Relieve us from a knowledge of error so that we might know personally what it is to walk as Christ walked, to live a life as he lived. Use our gifts, which we give now, gratefully and generously, for the cause of Christ, in whose name we pray. Everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To dig deeper into Romans chapter 5 with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message from Chuck titled, A Flyover Glance at Guilt and Grace.
When you came to Christ, he took up, get this, his spirit took up his residence in your life, and he booted out shame. He took the fangs out of death. He took away all that selfishness and ugliness that always dominated you, and he now leaves you with a new nature. You actually have a new nature waiting to take charge so that you don't have to yield to sin. We still are sinful. We can't come to the place where we are sin-free, but we can come to the place where sin no longer dominates. Here's the good news. You don't have to say yes to sin. We can meet the sin and all of its temptation with, Lord Jesus Christ, your power is at work in me. I can't fight this on my own. You can do this for me. And I turn it over to you. I give you the controls of my mind and my will. Take over. And because Jesus Christ never once yielded to a sin, when he takes over, there's conquering, there is victory, there's triumph. In fact, it says so. Right here in verse 17, the sin of the one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but even greater, he repeats, is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it, listen, will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Don't answer out loud, but this last week, did you live in triumph? I don't mean this to be in any way negative or condemning, but chances are good you didn't. So you know where you spent your time, where I used to spend my time before I was taught Romans 6, 7, and 8. You spent your time at 1 John 1, 9. It's a wonderful promise, but it's after the fact. What does it say? Most Christians have it memorized because we use it so often. If we confess our sins, there they are again, after the fact, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How grateful we are that he will do that. But we don't have to sin. There's a way to live before that that will never even take you to 1 John 1:9. Ever heard of Romans 6, 12 through 14? I doubt that there are 20 believers hearing me right now who can quote from memory Romans 6, 12 through 14, verses of victory. We all seem to know 1 John 1:9 because we were programmed to sin. And this is the way you get your life cleaned up after sin. And it is a wonderful cleansing. But you don't have to go there if you haven't committed sin. Look at Romans 6, 12 through 14, because I see some of you looking at me like, are you out of your mind? Look at it for yourself. Look at Romans 6, verse 12. Do not let sin control the way you live. Now, that's a command. I'm going to break in the command and add this. If that were not possible, that would be a mockery. That would be dangling in front of us a hope that will never be realized. But God doesn't do that. That's a command that can be obeyed. Look at the do not. That you make a decision, I will not let sin dominate me. When it comes knocking at the door, Christ answers the door for me. When it rears its ugly head, demanding obedience, Christ puts it down. Or, to use George's style, it blinks and walks away without a word, unfazed by what it's faced with. And read on. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. If that were not a possibility, he wouldn't command it of us. Do you know that you can live facing sin's desires, saying no, and never once yield at that moment? Read on. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for we were dead, but now you have new life. You see, when you were lost without Christ, before the cross, you were sunk. The only thing you could do when you faced sin was yield, if not now, soon, if not soon, later. There's no such thing as holding back and restraining. In fact, you even convinced yourself after a while, why bother? Because that's the only lifestyle you knew. That's the way life is in the polluted realm. But when Christ comes to take over, well, you have a new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Now, the next line I've loved for years, sin is no longer your master. You hear the new ruler? There's a new ruler in town. There's a new authority in your life. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. You literally live in the realm of freedom, whether you know it or not. The truth is, even though the slaves were freed, and I'll get into this next, my next message, many of them continued on as slaves. In some ways, it was too good to be true. In other words, there was no one around them saying, you're really free. You're no longer under the domination of a master. The old master has lost his control over you. Walk free. Some did. Most didn't. Because if you have been enslaved all your life, that's all you know. And habits being what they are, you quickly look for 1 John 1:9 to clean up the mess you've made. You don't have to make messes. This is a beautiful, beautiful statement of hope to all of us. We are able to live in triumph over sin and death, Romans 5:17 tells us. We're able to live above where we have been born and the nature within us. Now, let me add this. There are always legalists. There are always Pharisees. There will always be those who will want you to be as miserable as they are. They've never known victory. They've never known freedom. So what right do you have to walk as though you're free, to park your pickup wherever you wish without explaining it to anybody? Where do you get off doing that? You do that because you are operating under grace. And when you operate like that, you don't do it out of pride, you do it out of great gratitude. I'm just so grateful Christ has set me free. And I'm able to obey him without becoming the doormat of every legalist and Pharisee in the church. I don't have to live like that. I like the way Reinhold Niebuhr, the theologian, once put it. Hear these words. You may be able to compel people to maintain certain minimum standards by stressing duty. But the highest moral and spiritual achievements depend not upon a push, but a pull. People must be charmed into righteousness. Don't you love that? I love that last line. When you are a believer living in freedom, you're charming. You charm people into righteousness. You're not frowning. You don't shame them into religion or looking as though you're holy. In fact, when you walk in the Spirit, you really are not a slave to people. You're enslaved to your Savior. And rather than enslaving you, he's freeing you. As you obey him, you walk in the light as he is in the light, and you love one another. There's no push in that. It's all the pull of grace. When we conduct our lives according to guilt, choosing legalism, we will attempt to shame people and bully people and manipulate people using fear and guilt and criticism to push them in line. The reason is we see ourselves as victims of sin. And who do you think you are to live above that realm? In this series of messages I'll be bringing, I'll have the joy of telling you again and again, you don't have to live like a lost sinner, because you are not a lost sinner. You are a saved saint. You have been set apart for God's purposes and glory. And therefore, you don't have to live under the thumb of shame and guilt. I'm going to make a statement that will make some of you squirm, but that's okay. I make people squirm sometime. You can actually spend periods of your life without sin. Did I really hear that right? Well, I'm going to get emailed this week. No, please. Savior email. Just take it by faith until we get into Romans 6, 7, and 8. You don't have to sin. You don't have to spend your day, every day, ending with 1 John 1, 9. You don't have to keep a list of the things you did wrong. You can live a day without doing something wrong. That sounds like a dream you had one time, doesn't it? It's a fact. Neither yield yourselves as members of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those who have been alive, made alive to God, and yourself as a free person in Christ. You are free to live in the realm of righteousness. Not a proud living, but a humble, grateful living. I'm so thankful I'm able to live like this. Sin no longer need dominate your life. Now, let me add something. It can. And it will if you do not turn it over to Christ. All these years you formed habits of responding to sinful temptations, and if you're not careful, you'll fall right back into those same habits. But when you realize that you don't have to, you'll break that habit. Sin is a terrible master. I have on my, is it copy or a printer? Printer. I have it on my printer at home next to my computer, this little statement. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Does it ever? It'll cost you more than you want to pay. Oh, my. I'm just thinking of times when I yielded to it and the horror that followed it. You can go there, but you don't have to. That's the beauty of grace. Lord, because I am now under grace and no longer under the burden of living in this polluted realm of my life, I ask you to dominate me at this moment. Take charge. Turn my mind away from this yield, from this temptation. No matter how attractive it is, no matter how appealing it may be, give me the strength to say no. Say it through me, Lord, and He will. And when He does, it is the most magnificent moment when you can turn and walk away just like George walked away from Mildred, just like that. I need to close this. My time is up, but I want to do it with a true story. It's about grace. When I went to Dallas Seminary, I began in 1959. The founder died in 1952, so I never knew him. His name was Lewis Sperry Chafer, C-H-A-F-E-R. Dr. Chafer founded the school in 1924. He was the president until he died in 52. They named a chapel after him, but he never worshiped in the chapel. It was finished the year he died. So I never studied under him. However, the men I studied, in those days it was an all-men school, so I'll refer to men only here, though thankfully it is now a co-ed school. But in those days, all men, and the men I studied under all studied under him. So I heard stories about Chafer, often. They were wonderful stories, often about grace. His favorite subject to teach was grace. This story comes from a man who was a student, later became a professor. He taught me and told this story of his experience. He said, we were in the classroom. Dr. Chafer was teaching by now at age 82 from a wheelchair. He had finished his last lecture on grace, favorite subject. And when he finished, everybody in the classroom realized, as we sat in that hot, humid room without air conditioning in Davidson Hall, we sat there realizing this may be the last time we'll ever hear Dr. Chafer in class. And when he reached over to turn off the overhead projector, remember those? The class burst into an applause that was resounding. Chafer stopped in his right there, held his hand up and bowed his head to silence. And then the silence was deafening. And he said with a gentle smile and soft words, I quote, "Gentlemen, for over half my life, I've been studying this truth. I'm just beginning to discover the depth of the grace of God." Then he added, "And gentlemen, it is magnificent." His last words. He rolled toward the door. Someone opened the door for him, and he rolled out of the classroom as they sat pondering the magnificence of the grace of God. I will tell you, I didn't have the mind of a Chafer. I didn't have the privilege of knowing him, but I've gotten into the depths of grace, and I agree. And I live for the day you will see it fully and live in the light of it, that grace will be your guideline for life, that grace will be your marching orders, your way of life, your way of thinking, that when someone asks you what you really believe about Christ, you can't explain it without inserting frequently the word grace. The grace of God that delivered you from your pollution and lost condition and brought you before God, declaring you righteous. And now that you are in God's eyes declared righteous, you're able to live in a realm you never could have known without Christ enthroned in your life. You no longer fear the devil. You no longer fear death. You no longer are bullied by those who walk in step with that way of thinking. You now live in a plane of freedom that is, Chafer's word, magnificent. I want that for you as much as anything for this new year. May it become a reality in all of our lives as we become acquainted with Romans 6, 7, and 8. Please bow your heads with me. Sit quietly before the Lord. Perhaps you're still enslaved. No one can tell by looking. We all look the same externally, but down inside, you know, if your life is marked by constant defeat, you can't seem to live above the drag of your old nature. It may very well be you've never come to Christ. You know of Him. You may even sing some of the songs about Him. But you've never given Christ control of your life. You've never trusted in the Savior. Do that now. Don't wait any longer. Thank you, dear Father, for the privilege of this amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. And because I see and we see, we come to your table full of gratitude. Thank you for your grace, your forgiveness, the hope we have in time and throughout eternity of knowing you personally. We worship you now. In the name of Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Our topic today is a flyover glance at guilt and grace. It's the first message in a brand new 7-part series called Living by Grace. And Chuck Swindoll has much more wisdom to show us that's found in Paul's liberating letter to the Romans. So please stay with us throughout this study. To go deeper on this engaging series or learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. In the event that you missed any portion of this opening message, you'll be glad to learn that Insight for Living has packaged all 7 CDs together for you. It's also available in downloadable MP3 files. You can purchase either one of these formats by visiting us online at insight.org/store or by calling this number, 800-772-8888. Again, the complete series is called Living by Grace. As a complement to this study, Chuck Swindoll wrote a hallmark book that's helped millions of readers around the world. I use the word hallmark because many have called this particular book one of the most important ones that he's written. It's called The Grace Awakening. In this classic, Chuck describes how to break free from the tyranny of legalism. He teaches us how to infuse grace into our lives and how to give it away as well. To purchase a copy of The Grace Awakening by Chuck Swindoll, go to insight.org/store. And then bear in mind, it's your voluntary donations that make it possible for us to provide Chuck's teaching on your radio station, the internet, and the variety of outlets that feature Insight for Living. Rest assured, your gift will have a tremendous impact on those who have yet to embrace the grace of God. We know this is true because we receive their affirming comments every day. To give a donation today, call us. If you're listening in the United States, call 800-772-8888. Or you can give online by visiting insight.org. Tired of fighting those nagging feelings of guilt and shame? I'm Bill Meyer. Don't miss Chuck Swindoll's uplifting message next time on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, a flyover glance at guilt and grace, was copyrighted in 2020 and 2023. And the sound recording was copyrighted in 2023 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.